This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Discussed in dueling town halls. The president had his own on NBC, while on ABC, it was Joe Biden's turf. Very strange. The man who wants to be president, the man who is president, answering questions, having discussions about all kinds of things. Kind of a clash in a different sense of the word, because there was no second debate. Instead, there was something quite different. Savannah Guthrie grilled the president and did pretty well, held her own on some of what she went after the I'll call it going after the president for those questions, those tougher questions. So she didn't soft pedal it. And with Joe Biden, it seems like he didn't back off very much, but his was a much more tepid, I'll call it, affair. So one of the things I think that came out of this, and by the way, hey, Kate Delaney, thanks for joining me here on the show. One of the things I thought was interesting is the president talked about, Guthrie pressed the president on retweets and this whole thing about the theory of Osama bin Laden's death, and the president explained he was just passing along information. It was a retweet. He said, I put it out there. People can decide for themselves. And Savannah Guthrie then went back and said those tweets have demanded that, he's the president. He's not someone's crazy uncle spouting off on Twitter. But the information he promotes matters, because that's why she said to him, I don't get that. You're not someone's crazy uncle. You can't just retweet whatever. So that was clearly a really kind of strange moment, because he did retweet that out there, and he said that he was just passing along the information. And there were a few other moments that came out, including not really denying the 400 with lots of other zeros on it that the president owes supposedly in taxes. The $400 million debt, and he just kind of, it was just kind of a push, I guess. And he said just that the numbers are all wrong. But if we looked at, as I kind of jump right into this at the top, if we look at a smattering of what was talked about, COVID and the vaccine and mask mandates, that was big. That question was big for Biden. Biden opened up by criticizing the press for not taking the virus seriously. It's what he said on ABC, as well as not urging more precautions like wearing masks and social distancing, and saying Americans don't panic. He panicked, and that's what that, was all about. And when he was asked, would he enforce that mandate? He said you couldn't. He said that mandate would be like if it was a face mask mandate, you would have to turn to governors and mayors to get their residents to wear masks, which he's right about that. How are you going to enforce that? And Trump kind of weaved away from the question on the COVID tests. He announced he tested positive for COVID a few days after the debate with Biden, and he averted a question about whether he tested negative the day of the debate. And he said, I don't know. I don't even remember. And he insisted he was in great shape the day of the debate. He was ready for the debate, all that kind of stuff. And moved on, you know, from that. He was asked about announcing his Supreme Court pick in the White House Rose Garden and that that was considered a super spreader event. And he didn't answer, really, as to whether he should have known better than to hold the event without wearing a mask. He said he had no problem with wearing a mask, but he said, I'm the president. This is part of this town hall again. He said, I have to see people. I can't be in a basement. I have to be out. And we all know at this point, 13 people at the Rose Garden event tested positive for coronavirus. But if questioned, he says, you know, it seems that's where he, you know, contracted the virus. There were some other moments, like Biden was asked what he was going to do to turn out the young black voters. That was one of the things that he was asked during the debate. And, his answer to that, kind of long-winded, saying he would give more funding to historically black colleges and universities, as well as to schools, Title I schools. And he highlighted investing into black entrepreneurs. So he's got a lot of support from black Americans, and younger voters have been more critical about the former vice president, although, he does have some support. George Stephanopoulos, moderating, interjected, asking the voter who asked the question whether he had heard enough to convince him to vote for the former vice president, and the voter said, I think so. The debt question was big. $400 million is a peanut. That's what he didn't deny that he owes entities about $400 million. He pledged to tell Americans to whom he owes money. That was one of the things he said. He said, I won't mind saying who it is at all. He said he doesn't owe money to the Russians and said of whether he owes to any foreign interests, not that I know of. Remember, the New York Times blew the lid off this, reporting that the president had low federal tax bills, just $750 for the years of 2016 and 2017 and nothing for several other years. And that became, of course, fodder for the late night talk show hosts of the comedic variety. And then that came up in his one debate with Joe Biden, because he's declined to release the tax returns and whatnot. So he had to know that he was going to get that question, and he did, of course. Biden was asked about packing the court, and he kind of demurely, answered the question when he was asked whether he supports expanding the court as Republicans are rushing the confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, because that's all wrapping up. And he said, I'm not a fan. It depends on how this turns out, not how Trump wins, but how it's handled, because repeatedly Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris have been asked whether they support expanding the court, and they haven't given a clear answer. The Senate is expected to vote on Barrett's confirmation, by the way, later this month. In fact, it's supposed to happen on the 22nd. It's set for the 22nd. All right, speaking of money, how much does it take to win an election? We're going to talk about that on the flip side. Plus, Hawaii, they'd like some money. Hawaii opens back up for tourists who test negatively for COVID-19. More on that coming up.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. there's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot preparedness company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Brian, and I'm 80 years of age. Recently, I was dealing with symptoms of a COVID infection. Initially, I had a fever with chills and a sore throat. Within a short time, the fever subsided, and the sore throat improved, but still lingered. I used several different supplements without success. I then tried Green Meadow Whey, and immediately my sore throat went away. I feel that Green Meadow Whey helped me defeat this COVID infection, and it gives me a noticeable lift in my energy.
Lactoferrin is a naturally occurring nutrient in whey protein. It has been shown to have potent antiviral activity. Lactoferrin binds to a virus, blocking its ability to enter the cell. It also stimulates antiviral interferon production. Green Meadow Whey contains 300 to 600 milligrams of non-denatured lactoferrin per scoop. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or go to greenmeadowwhey.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. Single one of you listening to the show with me to Hawaii, I would do it. Some of my best memories are in Hawaii, and trust me, it's much more affordable than one would think, especially now. In the last week of September, more than 17% of Hawaii's labor force was getting unemployment benefits, the highest in the nation. That's why I'm highlighting it. Even more were getting pandemic unemployment assistance. An emergency program we all know, of course, Congress passed for the gig workers, the self-employed, and et cetera, because they were out on a very, very big limb. It has been described as a horrific experience going through this. The economy is so far off track. You know, you think of, like everywhere else, you think of popular places where normally they wouldn't bat an eye. They could help people, but instead, so many places are boarded up. There's a place in Maui called Paia, and it's a popular stop for tourists who are in Maui, and they go up the Hana Highway and just devastated this town completely. And it makes me think of so many other towns in the United States and other places that have tourists, that people come through, they grab sandwiches. And Hawaii, however, is unto itself all those islands, and with no tourists and avoiding the two-week quarantine, because who's going there and how can they take that time for the 2 weeks and et cetera? And it's just been an absolute killer. Normally, they'd be flooded with tourists. Hawaii was the only state to move in the opposite direction in August. They lost jobs even as other places started to reopen and rehire. And as the Lieutenant Governor Josh Green said, in many ways, Hawaii lives or dies by the amount of tourism we're able to maintain. And normally, they're okay. So the state's economy hit harder by the coronavirus crisis more than any other place as far as the U.S. is concerned. One in every six jobs vanished by August, according to the Labor Department. One in six. Is that insane? And that mandatory 14-day quarantine for anybody entering the islands prevented almost all tourism. Because, again, who has the time and who can take that risk and where are they staying? I mean, they've been devastated by the lockdowns, the struggling tourism industry. So now, reopening, bed and breakfast, all that kind of stuff. The doors have swung open and they hope they're in the road to recovery. But sadly, we see that there's an uptick in COVID-19 cases, and then that's a problem for people coming in. So when we look at the numbers, we're over 218,000 people who have died in the U.S., 8.2 million cases worldwide, 1.1 million deaths. That's out of 38.8 million cases, 26.8 million recovered. I mean, that's a bunch of numbers I've thrown at you. The numbers aren't good. And there's an uptick in some places, and that's the problem because the 14-day quarantine is what put them in the heap of hurt in the first place. So like so many others, tourism has really been hit hard across the world. Across the world. It is, you know, think of travelers. Think of any place you can imagine. The little sleepy hamlets, the nooks, the crannies that normally survive and can thrive even, not doing that. All right, how much does it cost to win an election? It may depend on what election we're talking about, but I'm just going to go by some current numbers. If you wanted a Senate seat to represent Arizona, because we got lots of great people listening to us in the great state of Arizona, it would be $165 million. $165 million. If it's Montana that you're craving to represent and you're there, you live there, $143 million. Would you be stunned to know that North Carolina for a Senate seat 2020, $242 million? Wow. And what have people spent and how are they looking? Like Lindsey Graham, for example, Jamie Harrison, who's been the big challenger to longtime Senator Lindsey Graham in South Carolina, $73 million. Harrison has spent. Graham, $34 million. Let me give you a couple other examples. In Arizona, Mark Kelly. You remember Mark Kelly, of course, the former astronaut, Democrat, $54 million. Senator Martha McSally, the Republican, $24 million spent. I mean, wow, remarkable, isn't it, when you think about it? The Democratic challenger, in some cases, heavily outspending the Republican on advertising. And in looking at the ad spends, because that's the thing, is the eyeballs, people hearing it, the intensity with how, you know, how much you run the ads can be huge. In Iowa is a great example. Democrats have spent $118 million on ads compared to $77 million for Republicans. How about that? But just because you do pump the advertising dollars in is not a definite that you are going to win. Because Hillary Clinton spent a ton of money. And we saw what happened there. But usually it does make a huge difference because it's that whole awareness thing. Getting people to know you're there, being aware of it, especially if you are the, you know, especially if you're the challenger. And we see with the president, that was one thing about Donald Trump. He had what we called earned media because people wanted to talk to Donald Trump. He got all kinds of coverage versus, you know, like Joe Biden. Joe Biden, it's not that he doesn't get any media coverage, but it's that Trump can get so much more than Biden can for where he shows up and his past history with being on television on a popular show. So fundraising, by the way, for Biden, $383 million. But that was just for September. Right? Wow. $383 million. How much cash on hand? That is what people talk about. And online fundraising is one of the big ways that Joe Biden did it. I was reading a story the other day in the New York Times about how crafty they were online and how that made a big difference in the amount of people that dumped money into it. So he's got an edge with a huge nest egg in the bank, I'll say, with as far as the money for campaigning is concerned. And I think COVID changed some of the election money, you know, how it flipped and what happened there, meaning that, of course, they had to have enough money because they had to have more signage, more eyeballs, more commercials, you know, whatever. It's fundamentally changed the campaign on the money race side. Biden's campaign responded to the pandemic by doing virtual fundraisers and moving a lot of the traditional ground ops online, cutting some costs at the same time and developing other ways to fundraise. While with Trump, they've kind of stayed on the same track. But knocking on doors, eventually large rallies, in-person fundraisers, that kind of thing, is what the president, the whole grassroots thing, did that worked for him the last time around and was working this next time around. We'll see sooner than later because it is almost time to either elect a new president or continue with Donald Trump, but it couldn't be more interesting with so much of that early voting going on. I have those numbers too. We'll pop them in a little bit later. Stay with us.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pryor. Utah Republican Senator Mitt Romney said he will vote to confirm Judge Amy Barrett to the Supreme Court. He said, after meeting with Judge Barrett and carefully reviewing her record and her testimony, I intend to vote in favor of her confirmation to the Supreme Court. I am confident that she will faithfully apply the law and our Constitution, impartially and regardless of policy preferences. A man was arrested for trying to set a Seattle, Washington police car on fire while the officers were inside.
USA Radio Network's Val Dior reports.
Police officers were in a neighborhood near downtown Seattle Thursday afternoon when they were flagged down by someone concerned about a man holding what appeared to be a torch. Seattle Police Chief Sergeant Randy Husrick told Fox News that as officers tried to contact the man, he was somehow able to get the torch into a sensitive area of the patrol car, which caught fire. Officers were inside the vehicle at the time but were not injured, and the suspect was arrested at the scene. For USA Radio News, I'm Val Dior.
USA Radio News. Dr. Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984, says Thanksgiving this year is going to look a lot different. By limiting the Thanksgiving gatherings, it can save lives. USA Radio Network's Dan Naraki has more.
The coronavirus may have people wanting to scale back their Thanksgiving. That's a recommendation from Dr. Anthony Fauci. The head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases tells CBS News that people should be very careful when planning holiday get-togethers, especially if family members will be traveling to join.
I think people should be very careful and prudent about social gatherings, particularly when members of the family might be at a risk because of their age or their underlying condition. Namely, you may have to bite the bullet and sacrifice that social gathering unless you're pretty certain that the people that you're dealing with are not infected.
For USA Radio News, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the tax relief line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. That's 866-657-8517.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
All right, there is something about hitting the mailbag. It's exciting that all of you jump on that with us, obviously, because we have an overflow every single day. If it were physical mail, I would be waist deep in it, so thanks for that. You can always shoot me your thoughts, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Again, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. All right, something to look at that's interesting is this comment. I got this one from Matt, and Matt says, "Hey, Kate, did you hear what Chris Christie said about getting COVID-19? He was at the Rose Garden for that super spreader event, and that he urges everybody to wear a mask and take it seriously. And he was somebody who, obviously overweight, that kind of thing, said that he felt great and he couldn't believe he was in that situation, basically. And now he's being treated and he feels good about coming out on the other side of that. He had so many comments that were pushed out there because he's close to Donald Trump that the president was asked about it in the town hall on Thursday. What's your reaction to it? Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, he was not in good shape. To be in intensive care for 7 days isolated and you're fighting COVID, you know, 19, and doesn't matter how many connections you have or if you have the best view in the hospital or if you have a ton of money, it doesn't matter. Because if the virus gets you and puts you in that situation, it's a roller coaster ride as to whether or not you're coming out of that. And Christie said No one should be happy to get the virus. No one should be cavalier about being infected or infecting others. It's something to take seriously. The ramifications are wild and wildly random and potentially deadly. And the one thing that stood out to me that I heard him say, or I saw the quote a couple times too, is that he believes that we have not treated Americans as adults who understand truth, sacrifice, and responsibility. And he was blaming himself for not doing that and saying this is one thing that could bring us together. So, yes, the president, of course, was asked about that because it just came out that he made those comments. And the president said, I think it's great. He has to say that. He's a good guy, and wrong or not wrong, you have to understand as president, I can't be locked in a room someplace for the next year and just stay and do nothing. So his point is, while Chris Christie can say that and he can urge Americans to wear masks, he's saying, I can't isolate myself that way. So he was, I mean, that was the right answer, frankly, right? All right, how about this one from Karen, who's listening to us in Portland. Kate, I love when you talk about the amount of early voters. I, like you, feel proud. I actually don't care who people vote for. I'm just glad that they're out there voting and we're seeing these record numbers. So I'm wondering how many people will come out on the actual day. Well, you know what? It's now close to 19 million. I mean, with all these early votes, it's crazy. Almost 19 million. You never, not even close, not even half of that. Nothing. Never, ever, ever, ever get that high. And we probably could have the biggest election that we've seen. Because sadly, I've said this many times, when you only have 30 to maybe, if you're lucky, 40% of the population voting, and if you got a higher number, or let's say 75 or an 80 or even an 85, that would be stunning if that happened. Because it doesn't happen. There's just people who sit on their hands, they don't get involved, and they won't vote. They'll complain when they don't like what happened, but they won't vote. So this gives me hope seeing this. It does. It gives me hope seeing this many people got up, made the effort, and went and voted. This one is from Francois, who says, hello, bonjour. It was good to hear you the other night on the air, and I heard you say something about France because I'm going back to France, and hopefully I'll get in the country. My family's all there. But we've seen a terrible, terrible spike in new cases. Yeah, there were like 8,000 infections or something in 24 hours, and the death toll is rising. It's like 33,000 plus, plus, plus. So they're pushing the, hey, wear the mask, wear the mask. The French president, Macron, ordered a nightly curfew in Paris and eight other big cities where the coronavirus is rampant. So the five biggest cities are on maximum alert. Bars and gyms closed. Just closing it. But certainly they're not the other only ones in Europe, by the way. Italy's seen cases rise. Spain has bars and restaurants closed too. Ireland, a ban on household visits. They had been immune to a lot of this. And a lot of places in Europe are closing bars, period, saying it's just not safe. People start to drink, and while they might social distance at first, then it kind of wears off, and that's where you get the problems. Of course you do. All right, this one is from Chris, who says, hi, Kate, I'm listening to you in New York. You'd be surprised at how many people are leaving the city because of coronavirus and wanting to be closer to family or changing their minds on what they're doing, where they're living. I think we're going to see a complete upend of business, not all businesses, but the way business is conducted. I think you're going to see that with meetings A lot is going to change. So in one way, it's sad and horrible. But in another way, it is the land of opportunity for the people who are paying attention. Yeah. This one is from Drake, who says, random question. Random question, Kate Delaney from America Tonight. What do you think about while people are golfing and playing tennis, for some reason they're not going back to the bowling alleys? Is it because of the fact that they're indoors? What do you think? Well, I think that's it. You nailed it. Because they're indoors, and if you had jammed up lanes, what would that be like? But I think bowling alleys are struggling. I mean, they, you know, some of them can't open. So if they can't open, there's no way they're going to get any revenue. In California, I know the people who own bowling alleys are complaining that Gavin Newsom is being too strict. And that even though they will eventually open up and they're part of the tier program, it's not looking like it's going to happen anytime soon, and they're being very slow about that. Well, I think it's because it falls into the entertainment category, right? So in the entertainment category, jam bowling alleys, touching all the stuff that you would touch in there, it seems obvious why it would be that way. But, you know, you put it on the list of, wow, is this bowling alley even going to be here? Because you go back to the whole rent thing again, paying rent on the place, depending on where it is located, versus you can't afford to pay. Can you even afford to keep the lane open? Just like movie theaters. Movie theaters are really, 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 really struggling. And while some businesses are cratering, others are flourishing. I've said that before. Gun sales are, because there's a lot of unrest and election fears and all that, gun sales have soared big time. Maybe not a surprise, right? While those in that college age, colleges are, say they're seeing a sharp drop off in enrollment. And that's causing a crisis on some college campuses because there's some people there, and how do you balance that out? But across the board, U.S. colleges, a big, sharp decline. First-year undergraduate students' enrollment fell 16%, according to the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center. Total undergrad enrollment slid 4% from the last year at the same time. That's pretty high. Oof. That's very high. I wonder how many people, once they get out of high school, are opting for a year, like a year out or half a year out. I'm not sure. Meaning they could do something else. That is tough. You think of how anxious you are to get back to, you know, the business at hand and the task at hand for somebody who does end up going to school, is to make that leap from high school to college. And how tough is it to make that leap when there's some place to leap to, but for the money you'd pay and the isolation you'd feel, it's not worth it. And maybe that's part of the problem. The feed up, relax, and deal with it later approach. Yeah, it's an interesting time to be of that age. Of the age where, you know, you're right in that sweet spot, moving from what would have been the great prom to whatever else was going on into a new situation where you might be in a dorm, and guess what? You might not be in the class. I think that's happening to a lot of students, a lot of students. All right, we're going across the pond, an interesting conversation about COVID and Melbourne. I'll meet you on the flip side.
As the coronavirus
coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Warning, if you are over the age of 65 and on Medicare Parts A and B, you must listen to this. Studies show that the average Medicare recipient pays more than $5,000 in out-of-pocket medical expenses each year. What is even worse is that sudden health emergencies can cost $75,000 or more and force thousands of unfortunate Americans into extreme debt and even bankruptcy. There is hope. The solution is SnapMedicare.com. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to protect yourself and your finances. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in your coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare, remember and rest easy knowing that your medical expenses are being taken care of with SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516. You and your loved ones deserve peace of mind, and SnapMedicare.com will help you get it. Call 800-286-5516. That's 800-286-5516.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
All right, joining us now is Eric Shantsima. He's got a book called Signal 8, an Australian paramedic story out that is fabulous that we're going to talk to him about because it's got all kinds of great themes in it. I mean, themes about what you witness and the heavy heart that you have when you see some of the things that you see when you're a paramedic, but also life experiences, what happens when you suddenly lose someone close to you, you lose the love of your life, and how you find love again. I'm not going to give you any more details. You're going to have to wait till that comes up later in the show. But he joins us from Melbourne, Australia. And Eric, we're all in this pandemic together, as I like to say, no matter where you live. How are you doing in Melbourne? What's it been like? And especially now, they had more of a lockdown. It's been a little bit stricter.
Yes, it has been. Of all the states in Australia, Victoria's had the worst experience, if you like. Probably a month ago or a little bit longer, or a little further back, we were having cases up to 700 a day. Now, compared with other countries and other cities, that doesn't seem a lot, but it was a lot for us. The cases now are down to less than 10 a day. But we remain in lockdown. We're not allowed to travel further than 5 kilometres radius from our home. But we're hoping on Sunday our state premier will ease at least some of the restrictions. People are getting extremely frustrated with it all, which is understandable. But I guess people have to understand that this is not a political crisis, it's a medical crisis. And we need to be patient in, a 1-in-100-year event.
Boy, I so agree with that. All right, so we wish you the best, obviously, and for all of us, like I said, we're all in it together. And thanks for sharing that, and we'll catch up with you later in the show to talk about your book.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, so you hear what's going on in Melbourne, and like so many other places around the world, we love to give you little slices of that so you realize that it is a global pandemic. It's not just in the U.S., and many, many people are so concerned about Americans, and I'll tell you what, seriously, honestly, this is not sappy. It really warms my heart when they say that, and I've had many, many, many conversations with others in Australia and in New Zealand and in Wales and in Ireland and in the U.K., and you know, because you've heard many of them the last probably 6 months every so often on Author's Corner. And, boy, that is, it is tough when you have these really tight restrictions. And that's why Chris Christie and others, because he went through it, urging the mask, when you're out in public spaces. I mean, we know. We're adults. We know when this should be happening. And I think this is, the thing to do. And keep watching what's going on with these drug trials. It's frustrating that there have been a few that have blown up. And when I say they've blown up, just temporarily they've had to halt them until the patient that got sick, they work around what happened there, et cetera. I have friends all over the country, and many of you, wonderful, wonderful listeners. And I think about what's it like for the people who are listening to us in Palm Springs. That was one of the places that I was supposed to go that got canceled. And we've got people listening on 920 a.m. on KKGX. And then I've spent so much time in Louisiana, all over Louisiana, but especially in New Orleans. And whether it was to cover some event or to speak or, whatever it would be. And I've gotten to know a few people there, and we've got a great affiliate there, WGSO 990 AM, and they do a good job on updating people on what's really going on and what's happening, right there in their backyard. And New Orleans for a while was one of those hot spots, and we see that it's kind of like it's kind of like whack-a-mole with the virus. The novel coronavirus is nothing to fool with because you just don't know when it's going to pop up. And because I've known people who have gotten it and thought that they were being really, really safe, some scary things can happen. And of course, now we're bouncing in through the fall and into the winter, and people are wondering things like, well, what's the difference between the flu and COVID-19? Because they're similar symptoms. I mean, similar symptoms. So how do you know? Should you go and get a test? Maybe it's, I think it's like possible, really, because there's just too much similarity. So if you have body aches, a sore throat, you have shortness of breath, you have headaches, you've got that fatigue, whatever, all of that, I think the thing is to get tested, especially if there's more than one person in a household who has it. It seems as though people that get the flu, and if you've ever gotten the flu, you feel very sick during the first week, and then it sort of gets better. It's kind of the opposite, I guess, with COVID-19. You feel worse during the second or third week, and you might be sicker for a longer period of time. But getting those symptoms and figuring out what it is, and then here's the other thing. Could you be infected with both at the same time? Wouldn't that be a horrific position to be in? The flu has a shorter incubation period, but and what about the timing with COVID-19? So it is possible, I guess, it is possible to be infected with both of them. And like I said, that would be incredibly rough, wouldn't it, to go through that at the same time. Yeah. So at the top of the show, I talked about the town halls. There were competing town halls because there wasn't a second presidential debate. The president didn't want to do a virtual one, so they went and did their own. ABC had a town hall with the former vice president Joe Biden, and NBC had President Trump in a town hall, so they were competing. I wonder what the ratings are. The early ratings don't really tell me anything. I've looked at that. But they were completely different because, of course, the president is going to have to defend himself with some of the questions, and Joe Biden had to do the same, but it's not quite the same as when you already have the job. Now, 20 minutes before the town hall was turned over to audience questions, because that's what they did on NBC, Savannah Guthrie kind of grilled President Trump and, you know, peppered him. She peppered him with follow-ups and fact checks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. One of the things that the president said is that he said a study showed 85% of the people who wear masks still get the coronavirus. But Savannah Guthrie said, no, that's not right. How this study is, that is falsely characterizing it. And he defended the public response, his public, you know, pandemic response by looking at another study that showed 2 million people could have died from the coronavirus. And Savannah Guthrie noted that models predicted that only if the government did precisely zero mitigation. So there were some, interesting moments, I mean, to say the least. And for Biden, I think his whole thing was just not to have any glaring mistakes. And George Stephanopoulos was questioning him, or was the moderator. Moderator is the wrong word. I think it's really sort of like a hybrid version of interviewing. And George Stephanopoulos asked tough follow-up questions about, you know, policing, fracking, and a lot of other things. And mostly they were answers that we had heard before. So there wasn't anything that was incredibly breaking that came out of that. I think the question is going to be, heeny, meeny, miny, mo. Were people flipping around to the town halls, or did they just kind of stick with one? And I still go back to my point of, you can put on whatever show you want to put on, but I think most people at this point know who they're voting for. And to swing a vote, presidential vote, is really, really tough. Alex, the technical maestro for the show, excellent job as always. Fun working with Alex. And thanks to all of you for supporting the show and listening to this hour of it. Remember, we're all in this together.
SuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.